have a swimming pool of Arizona green iced tea that was gifted to me, and it's pretty much not a good drink anymore at 27, and it gives me kind of a like a sugar lull.
Lull?
Isn't it weird? Because that one was always like the more respectable one out of all of the Arizonas, and then like you drink it now, and it's like, oh, it's also just soda. The other ones are just super soda.
Sugar water. Not lull. Din. It gave me like a sugar din.
A sugar din. Well, enter the sugar den, because I think really we're, I think our levels are almost there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I'm going to do din instead of lol for now. I think din is the new lol.
Is it, wouldn't it be lol?
I mean, it's the new lol, but I've never used lol, so I'm going to replace lol with it.
You're replacing at lol, LOL, laugh out loud, yeah, replaced by din.
Yes.
Diners, Galloway's inevitably rules. Network.
No.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Diners in New York. There, that's something. James, are you alive? Are you you're
I'm laughing so much I'm drooling into neck.
Oh boy.
James, give me a few lines, because I think everyone else is good right now.
These are the only lines I have for you.
Okay, we're good to go. Everything else after this shit is canon. It's canonical.
This is the only place that James would rather be.
Forgot
I love
to get cannons. My drinks.
The place I'd rather be. Wow, what a week in
no.
Yeah. In games.
Games.
In
no.
Did Birthmark of Osiris even come out yet?
Yes, it did. Oh my god, I have a lot to talk about.
And I guess that's the conversation on that one. So on to turkey dinners.
Well, was last week Thanksgiving, James?
Yeah, I think we covered it. We talked about Pocket Camp, which is pretty much that's the Thanksgiving dessert.
That's the Thanksgiving dessert.
I think
I brought my yes, Galloway.
I think Thanksgiving may have been yesterday, because I'm still seeing Black Friday deals constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it gets longer and longer every year, because they realize, you know, Alibaba sold in one weekend, 300% more in profit than all American retailers did in the entire Black Friday season.
Really makes you think.
It was called Singles Weekend, and it celebrates single people. And this was a few months ago in China. And sold something around like $25 billion in shit.
Yeah.
And that outdid every single U.S. retailer combined for all of their Black Friday.
Well, maybe the U.S. needs to start thinking about Singles Weekend.
Singles might be one of the bigger issues we have with gun violence, domestic disputes, gaming.
Well, if we're going to pick any of them to talk about this week, it probably would be gaming.
I thought Alibaba was like Amazon.
It is.
Oh,
We can't use it, though.
Yeah.
It is December the 7th, be with you. And don't betray, your ears do not betray you. Secret, first time, not last time, I hope, guest star, who is the only person other than myself to appear on every podcast to date. I know you're thinking, but how is that? How could that be? Because you've never heard his voice, but here he is. It's the thought process, the brain, the hive mind, the Vex
core processor.
This intro is vexing me.
Behind, hey, I'm Ryan. Crying. I'm here live from New York. It's going to be confusing.
Give us a heads up. What's going on in New York right now, G-Way? Ryan Galloway of Crying.
Hello. It's I think James and I both kind of live in a similar area, but might want to agree, James.
That's not true. I've been to both your houses. Apartments.
The outside is getting nicer looking, but also colder.
It's darker.
Last
darker
two days early. Were nicer. Yeah.
You're
going to get
it.
A touch of snow this weekend, so get in the mood. Let's think about snow games. I used to play Super Mario Sunshine in Snowboard the dead of winter. Snowboard Kids, SSX Tricky.
No, get out of here. The only thing about the only thing anyone remembers about SSX Tricky is the song. Which I don't even know if the song was made for SSX or if it was made.
Oh no, they remixed it.
No,
that was a Run DMC or one of those guys.
Most definitely. So
Aerosmith.
I want to know what kind of check they walked away with, because when EA Sports was EA Sports big, they were contracting a lot of musicians and bands to be sort of featured, you know, cliplets.
That would have been your chance, Galloway. That would have been that would have been the big time to be able to be in an EA Sports game.
When I think about the SSX trick, when I think about the Run DMC song, I actually in my head I've like conflated that song, because it's in a video game, with the Donkey Kong 64 like DK rap.
Yeah.
And in my head, it's just the same voice and same like performers.
Bring back mashups.
When is Run DMC gonna return together to make a Donkey Kong album?
Yeah.
I know.
For Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze 3.
It all went downhill when Microsoft bought Run DMC.
Speaking of,
that's when Activision bought it, and then Run DMC no longer released full albums. You got the album, and you had to replay it and buy more to get the other song.
Run DLC. Yeah, yeah. I'll make a fake logo for the header image of this.
I gotta run that by my boy Mason, who is the eye in the sky. He's the producer.
Got it. Galloway. Speaking of Galloway, December 7th, a day that will live in Injustice 2. It really
why
redeemed itself. It redeemed itself. Like, I thought it was for, I don't know, like neckbeard, you know, wannabe fighter.
Wow, you definitely don't know the people who play
I do not.
NRS games, because they are not that.
I thought it was too dark. Like the colors and everything, it's you gave it a pretty glowing review.
My problem was always more with the animations.
I agree. I think the animation is really goofy, but I think there's more to like about this fucking 7 month old game or whatever
than there are about past. Certain other games.
I definitely think there are really good things about it.
Is there more to it than Infinite? Is Infinite kind of, you know?
I haven't played Infinite.
Okay, it's not in the dustbin just yet.
Infinite has been Infinite released into the dustbin, so I don't know.
I'm waiting for it to hit the bargain bin.
Yeah, I played a little bit with three new characters since you just brought up Infinite. Three new characters launched: Venom, Winter Soldier, and Black Widow. There are more Marvel characters in the game than Capcom characters, which the game, you know, I hate to constantly harp on how truly offensively ugly and poorly designed everything aesthetically is, but the fact that happened, the character select screen is split into neatly down the middle, with Capcom characters on the left in blue and Marvel characters on the right in red. But Winter Soldier is on the Capcom side, because they couldn't find a way to fit him otherwise. That's a cool thing. Didn't plan that out very well, guys, but
I saw that and it was great.
I played some of that, and by played some of that, I mean I already have the character DLC stuff, and I got them for free, but I had already bought them. So I went into trials with Venom and Winter Soldier and Black Widow, and I did that for 10 minutes and stopped playing that. So I can't really give more of a review on it.
Yeah.
I think that game's like, that game had a very, very upsetting release. And I think that you have to celebrate small victories whenever they do anything with the game.
Why?
And I think
why should I have to celebrate like this AAA developer that fucks up constantly? Like, why should I celebrate the fact that they they are kind of doing things. Like, they're doing things a little bit too late. They're kind of like, they nerfed Reality Stone, which everyone hated. They nerfed Dante, and he's still good, but everyone hates him.
Reality Stone.
Like, is
well, I'm just saying that a positive to look at. I don't know how the characters play, but I think Venom looks pretty cool.
Venom looks pretty cool.
He sounds
cool.
Awful.
He sounds really bad. I don't know why he sounds so bad.
Is it like, want to play a game?
I wish it were. I really wish it were, Josh. It actually would be better. He's like, Venom is like, obviously, he's what, Eddie Brock, and he's, well, the first Venom, and he's covered in the symbiote. So like, everyone would expect Venom to sound like a guy, and then maybe another voice that's like a creepier voice that says it in unison. Or, you know, something else, like something like this, like distorted. But he has this really high pitched. He's like, let's play a game. Like, I'm going to eat. Shut up and let you. Like, his actual lines are and I'm bad at impressions, but this is really pretty close. Just like, shut up and let me eat you, like, is one of his lines.
Well, he sounds like
that.
Worst case scenario. Right there.
It's an easy voice to do because he sounds like a generic, like, henchman villain. It's weird.
Yeah, why not? Because it would have been so... Of course this drops, and people having no money from Capcom or anything like that, like, no, just anybody, like, I could look at, analyze it, slow down the speed of it, and make it sound deeper and creepy. So everyone did their own, like, voice mods before Venom launched, to say, like, yeah, it's really this easy. You just, you know, highlight the fucking audio and slow it down, or, like, lower the pitch or something. And it's not that complicated. And yet Capcom, like, did not listen, still released him sounding like this, like, whiny little, like, pubescent Venom. I don't get it. It would have been so easy. You didn't even need to do anything. Maybe just, like run the voice through something to make it sound gravelly or creepy, like put the voice on an echo or something. Like, there's so many things you could do to make this character sound terrifying the way he's supposed to be. But it's like, the second he's constantly talking, so when you see the pretty well, probably one of the best looking characters and best animated characters in the game, when you see that and you're constantly hearing him, like, screech at his weird whiny, with his weird whiny voice.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Something that would require a little bit more research before we do kind of an in-depth analysis is the voice actors guild was on strike for kind of like a healthy chunk of this year. And yet this year saw so many stellar releases, which were developed in 2015 and 2016, etc. I wonder how this voice actors strike has affected future games.
I don't know. I mean, I know they didn't get Laura Bailey, who always does Chun-Li. They got, like, a weird fake-ass Chun-Li to go with their new fake-ass look, so fair enough.
Not everyone's union, so you might, maybe in games, upcoming games, we might realize that there's some kind of third-rate talent phoning it in, because it was, like, fees and rates and salary dispute. I think they settled... but that kind of went under the radar, just like sort of the profession itself. It's amazing.
I know James has been, I wanted to ask James, cause I want to talk a little bit about Destiny just to get it out of the way. James, have you played any Curse of Osiris?
I played the first level of the story.
I didn't know, Nolan North had that high of a register.
Yeah. Well, they probably figured out how to fucking put him through, you know, an audio thing.
Do you guys
remember? I thought it looked good, and that's
it. It's really good looking.
That's it, though. It's like a designer game.
I don't have time to play that this week, man. I am so busy with other games.
And the big game coming up. But I wanted to, like, touch on that because it is so... deeply frustrating to me as, like, a huge fan of Destiny and to a lesser extent Bungie's. Not anymore. They have fucked up constantly this year. But so Destiny 1 or Destiny 2 comes out with a lot of the same problems as Destiny 1 on launch, and everyone's confused because it's like, well, why did you take out aspects of Destiny 1 that you finally fixed and then make it bad again so you could eventually fix it? And they screwed up all this, and they there was all these huge mistakes by Bungie. The EXP bug thing, which wasn't really a bug, and
bug.
Yeah, I know, it's not really a bug. They designed it like that, but it's fucked up. There's all this horrible shit that happens with Destiny 2 at launch, and then they're doing their... Bungie always does, leading up to a new release of, like, a new expansion of Destiny, does these, like, developer roundtable-y kind of things where they show footage of the game and they talk about it, and they canceled the last one because it was so embarrassing. Like, the hatred for the game had hit, like, peak levels, and they were embarrassed of all the major outlets reporting on the fact that they had this, like, really sinister EXP system in the game that they had not told anyone, and then they didn't handle it PR well at all when it came out. So they apologize, they give this long explanation of, like, what we want to do in the near future and how we want to pay more attention to you guys. Yeah, the state of Destiny. So I couldn't expect, like, so much from Curse of Osiris, because it's obviously one of those things that it was in development before the game launched, so it couldn't have changed that much. But holy shit, they fucked this up so hard. This was disastrous, this launch of this expansion.
How much was it?
$20 It's $20, mm-hmm. And one of the big things that is gonna, like, have everyone mm-hmm. rolling their eyes is that previously available like events and previously available activities that were in the vanilla version of Destiny 2 are now gated behind buying Trials of Osiris or Curse of Osiris. So, for example, if you hit level cap and you're doing endgame stuff in Destiny 2, that endgame stuff would look like you're doing strikes, you're doing Trials of the Nine, which is the PvP activity, like the endgame PvP activity. You're doing the raid. All the requirements, like the level requirements for all the endgame shit, got bumped up, like for no reason, really. Like they added 5 more levels. It's like they had this base game that didn't have enough content that everyone's complaining. They don't really add that much, but they bump up the level of the game of like the max level by 5, making it so that people who don't buy the $20 Curse of Osiris can't do the things that they were allowed to do just a week ago. And it's insane that you could buy the game now and it's a worse game than it was from release unless you pay $80 now to get the base game and Curse of Osiris, because that's sad for anyone getting, you know, it's the people getting Destiny 2 for Christmas or whatever. Like they can't do anything at the end. They can play this really short 10-hour experience to get to level cap, and then all the stuff to do after that is now gated behind a $20 paywall. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's already...
This rage really piggybacked off of Battlefront 2, correct?
No. It's Activision's behind both these mistakes, right?
No.
Who? Oh, EA is behind Battlefront.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean... I don't know. It's so disappointing. The expansion itself is super anemic and doesn't really change any of the problems in the Destiny 2 faces. They added like this tiny, tiny area that is small enough that it like probably was or could have been a people are guessing that it was a scrapped PvP area. Because a lot of the PvP areas, for whatever reason, happen on Mercury, and this game, like the new expansion, takes place on Mercury, so it's this tiny area. And then what frustrates me so much is that there's so many concepts that like Destiny fans and myself included are always thinking of to make the game better, and one thing that people have been asking for a long time is algorithm-based, randomly generated areas. I've always thought that was a good idea because it's along the vein of like Path of Exile or you know, like ARPGs like Diablo and Path of Exile, where they have these like set pieces for, like, we designed all the artwork and stuff, but it's going to randomly generate what the layout is, so that every time you go through it is a unique time, and you're going to fight, like, you know, randomized enemies and stuff like that, and it's going to make it so that every time is a little bit new. So they like half did that, but fucked it up by creating this whole thing that's really cool conceptually called the Infinite Forest. There's this race in Destiny, the Vex, that are this like half inorganic and half organic race that you know, generically wants to snuff out like organic life or whatever. I don't really know after playing this expansion. It's supposed to be revealed what their purpose is, but it certainly wasn't. But what they did was they created a giant computer basically that runs simulations on reality to find a reality in which brute force, like, create trillions of realities in this computer and make all these algorithms like this to show what would happen. And then they're trying to find realities where they win so that they could see, like, this is the path we need to take. So it's like, it's cool conceptually. I like the idea of it. But what it really boils down to is, like, before all the activities and in this new expansion, you have to go through, like, this probably too long section of these randomly generated, well, not random, like, they're like prefab like maze kind of thing where they're like pseudo random, but it doesn't really, you know, solve any of the problems, and it's not quite near what I originally would have hoped for with the concept behind it and what they were talking about with the Infinite Forest. It's not like something that you do, it's like an activity you queue up for. It's more like it's the beginning of all the new content. Is like you have to run through this random labyrinth, and then after that you start a new like adventure or a new strike or something, and it makes you go through that pseudo random labyrinth over again. So it's not really like adding that much. It just makes like, it's just this like additional piece in front of all the other content. They added a few new strikes. The strikes that they added, which are like the instances, wow, Josh, that's got to be Josh. They are just repurposed from the main story. So you play like these five or six like main story quests, and then the strikes that they added are retellings of those exact main story things. So they didn't even really add anything new in that sense. And here's like the thing I really wanted to talk about. The main thing that they were really excited about this concept of like this new harder version of a public event. And a public event is like in Destiny is this thing that's supposed to draw everyone together, and it creates like a boss or a scenario, and you do it like open world, so it happens, and you everyone who's in the area like is drawn to it to like complete a really hard encounter or something like that. So they were really excited about it. Mercury itself, like this small area, is basically made to only do this one public event. In a lot of other areas, there's like multiple different public events that can spawn. Mercury can only spawn this one public event that you complete the same way every time. So, I mean, that sounds like a lot of gibberish. Here's the thing that I wanted to talk about.
Where'd you find this?
I don't know what you're doing, Josh. There's this center area, and then there's these platforms, these like jump pads that fling you to these two islands on the side of the map, and people doing the public event have to go to both islands to like complete this objective. Here's the thing, the jump pads that fling the people are broken and kill you almost 90% of the time on impact.
Maybe they're punishing you for playing this.
I want to
not very interesting.
Really explain, like, you have to do this.
This is your fault.
You have to do this to complete the public event. You need to go to these separate islands. You need to hit this like jump pad that boosts you over to the island, and something is wrong where it constantly kills me, and it kills most people.
natural selection.
So like you, so what ends up happening is that it's like a known problem. So like to complete this thing, you have to get on this pad that flings you to another island, and it kills you like 90% of the time. So you have to just keep like the group that's doing it has to brute force by constantly jumping over the islands and dying, and then finally when one of them survives the jump, they can start picking up the dead bodies. So that's this like this is this glitchiest, weirdest expansion where like it's flinging people and killing them.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that when you were talking about it and then like an expansion comes out right away and you're just like, you end up paying $80 for something that definitely shouldn't be $80. Like I was thinking of, I don't know, I guess the only game I've played like that is Hearthstone, where it's like, you're just paying too much. But now it really sounds like Hearthstone, where it's like I get on this jump pad and, you know,
it kills you.
It could kill me or it could not kill me.
The randomness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frustrating because like the game already has like microtransactions and loot boxes in it, which didn't like Destiny 1 didn't launch with these problems. So Destiny 1 is like a better game like right now or even at this point in time in its life cycle. Like how did you added all these microtransactions and stuff in a game that's like about cosmetics and getting loot and stuff, so you put that behind these loot boxes that you pay for, and then meanwhile you have not enough rewards in the game, and you also have a $20 must buy expansion. Like the game itself now, base game to like experience Destiny 2, is like an $80 game plus microtransactions. So I don't get it. I never understand like this, like what developers are doing at any point in time.
I feel like this almost sounds like an, I know this is a loaded word, but this sounds like an abusive relationship. I kind of want you to put
Destiny
that game
always
on
has
ice,
been.
Man.
So
yeah, I want you to put that game on ice, man. We got other work to do.
All right, done with the Destiny talk.
There's kinder, friendlier games out there for your
exactly
wallet.
And like when in the group chat earlier, I do think it's a fantastic build. It's gorgeous. The shooting feels great, but it's a shooting game. I've been playing games where I have a lot of things to do.
I mean, Destiny nails it with the feel and everything, and it's like the best shooting game. So
absolutely, the shooting, it's like, do you remember Black for PS2?
No, no one remembers Black for PS2.
That was just about you and your gun, and the guns
and a lot of explosive barrels.
Yes, absolutely. The gun feels great in Destiny, but I'm playing games now where I'm engaging with the world in so many different ways as opposed to just pumping bullets into it.
Such as Black?
Well, yeah, why did you bring up Black?
I know, that's so
because
weird.
Because that's kind of like my go-to gun, like Guns and Guns Forever.
What about Guns
Are Games?
Guns the Duel.
Or Gundam.
Or just that game Gun, which was the Red Dead.
That game was all right. Awesome.
What about Enter the Gungeon, Josh? That's a game about guns and guns forever.
I know. There's a lot of games about guns, but there's a lot of games about a lot of things, too.
Thank you, Josh. Like that what? Was so... That's a, what a meaningful got? Sentence.
Oh,
tell our lawmakers that 10 years ago.
I don't know. I like... tell lawbreakers that. That shit is
fuck
obsolete.
You.
No, I don't know. This is a dumb argument, but like...
Are you
I
playing
like
Xenoblade? Is that where you're going?
No, yes, but I like doing a lot of things in games like Rune Factory and Stardew Valley, Xenoblade.
So it sounds like you're arguing that games should offer you a more diverse choice of things to do.
Are you saying that Destiny
right.
should add fishing,
because,
Josh?
Because
is that what you're saying?
Because it's not always the case, though, right? Because some games are really good at doing a one thing, and that's fine.
And
in
Destiny.
In Mario, you jump, and jumping is good enough. And in Destiny, you shoot, and maybe shooting is good enough.
I guess you do jump.
In
the soul of everything in Mario, but becoming different objects that can jump.
How did this guy?
That frosting.
I haven't played Destiny, but I do agree with Josh that it deserves its own karaoke mini game.
Yes.
Or we need to do a puzzle to unlock this door or this cache.
That's a thing in Destiny.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in D2 yet, though. Am I wrong?
Have you seen it in D91?
How do you know about that?
He's well versed in the lore.
We do not speak of D91 in this room. He's too holy.
Holier than thou.
Have some respect for a demigod. In Destiny 1, Ryan Kirby, I recall watching you stream your PS4 to my living room.
I don't believe I ever did that.
No, you did. I requested that you share play. This was years ago. And I watched you instruct your entire fire team to do some sort of puzzle to open up a fucking door. Does that happen in Destiny 2?
Yeah, in the raids.
Oh, okay, in the raids.
Raid singular?
I have not.
Singular raid.
Yes.
In the raid singular.
Raid singular.
In the raid layer.
I have not made it to a raid yet, so.
In the raid singular with enhanced raid-like content.
Shouldn't the single player or campaign experience involve some puzzles?
It does. They do that sometimes, and they do that in strikes and single player stuff where it's not always just shooting. It's sometimes where you're, you know, in a vehicle shooting, or you're shooting a thing to get something to open up a door to shoot something else. Sometimes you got to shoot the correct thing to be able to shoot other things. Sometimes you got to shoot a part of something. Shoot an arm off.
Oh my god. I don't have the names in front of me, but I do love my current guns right now in D2. Ugh, it's love-hate. It's an abusive relationship. It's a lot of things. I don't think I'm going to give them another dollar, though.
So I'm surprised to hear that, because I thought that out of all of the shooting games, Destiny had the most non-shooting elements that are good.
No, it doesn't.
I always thought that it was it's like the ambiance and the atmosphere.
It is that. It's gorgeous, and it certainly has they certainly have created a world.
It's kind of off limits, though, those huge set pieces. I love staring at them, but I can't, you know, in games like the Xenoblade, it all goes back to Xenoblade, baby. In Xenoblade X, if I saw something, I could walk onto every
Miyamoto.
Every surface of it. And that's why he brain drained half of Monolith Soft's staff for Breath of the Wild. Boom.
Can I hear what your experience with Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is so far for the Switch?
It's
just okay, let's break this down.
Have you got it,
Mason?
James?
Have you been playing it?
All right, so what I need you to do for me, Josh, is I need you tell me about the gameplay. I need you to tell me about the graphics.
Yes.
I need you to tell me about the audio. And then I need you to tell me about the lasting
appeal. I need you to tell me that whole thing one more time with the food out of your mouth. I mean, this is why we have
the Chipotle arrive?
What? Yeah.
Did the Chipotle arrive? Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So I need you to tell me about the gameplay, graphics, the audio, and the lasting appeal.
Okay. Gameplay is this really, really delicate mix
of boring
exploration. Ryan, please tell me your hour count.
Okay. An hour or two.
Tell me your hour
count. Holy shit, it's hour a bad start. It's a bad start, Josh.
So you're
what did I tell you? What did I tell you? I'm really putting you on blast right now. What did I tell you the other day? The game does not start until the 15th hour.
What do I say all the time? And that is, shit should be fun. And why does it take 15 hours to not suck?
Welcome
to. I don't think Persona was interesting at the start.
I think it was. Persona is a good example of how a JRP should work if it's going to baby you. Like, it's not necessarily.
That shit was slow as fuck.
It's not necessarily that, it's challenging you yet with the concepts of the game, but it is driving you forward with, how interesting it is and how it's setting everything up and the excitement of, of like, I love all these systems. I love where they're going. I can't wait for them to give me the reins so I can really like get my school life going. In Xenoblade Chronicles, it's boring as hell. The voice acting sucks. The story is tremendously bad and generic.
Shaking my damn head. Shaking my goddamn head.
I
finish chapter 3 and start chapter 4 and see how far you've come.
I was doing a dungeon last night in Xenoblade, and the fighting in Xenoblade is you auto attack when you're near an enemy. So what I would do is like I was watching Luke Cage at the same time. So I would just run to a new enemy, get in a fight, and then I would stop looking at the fucking game. I would stop looking at the fucking game because I didn't need to anymore.
Ryan, there is easily 6 different added layers that I could explain to you in really discreet detail that will be added. Well, will be added.
This is a bad start.
You are not going to get it until you let those hours fly by.
Also, how bad is the translation and voice acting?
I love it. It's camp.
I hope you keep playing it though, Kirby, because sometimes I'm surprised by your ability to pick up a $60 game and not see it through.
You shit blasted Mario Odyssey.
I did not shit blast it. What are you talking about? I have my own words on the podcast. I said that, and I stand by those words. Mario Odyssey starts out pretty boring, but it's fun and it's charming. And so there you go. That's another example of like better pacing, because there was still something that made me want to keep going with it. Like Xenoblade is like a struggle to pick up at the moment. It's already boring. It doesn't start with anything narratively or any characters that I'm interested in. I hate the design of the main character, who is like, he's between the ages of 6 and 12, I assume, and his voice acting is tremendously bad, and I kind of wish they just used the Japanese audio and then had subtitles, because they have to.
You can turn that on, you know that.
I looked through the menus for the Japanese. I couldn't find it.
You have to download it.
Oh, okay.
Galloway, what's your hot take on this?
Dude, no, I'm not done with this kid.
Hold on.
Kirby, please give it like 3 work days, okay?
Okay. The especially that you meet this cat girl in the beginning, because why wouldn't you, who's like, I guess a lolly.
I love her.
She's like for, you know, the Roy Moores of the world to be interested in. And her voice acting is so bizarre because
it's Welsh.
I assume that the Japanese character is like cutesy and is saying these shorter sentences. So like in sentences where like she said something like I would assume the Japanese for this before I say what the English translation was would be something like "neh," like just like what are you talking about? And then with the English translation was like is like, hey, what are you talking about? And like stuff like that where it just
Kirby,
doesn't.
How many fucking animes have you watched?
It's
in your
so bad. It's so bad though, because the way the characters talk has this insanely bonkers flow where I was listening to that main character, the forgettable main character talking, and he'll say something like, "Yeah, I just wanted to sell all this, don't you know?" Like that's how the dialogue is. Like, what were you trying to fit in there? Like, what was the Japanese that got so butchered into the shitty English translation that everyone sounds like that? And then there's these weird pauses, like the dialogue is so like start stop, and like they're trying to like rush in where Japanese would be, and it's just bizarre to listen to.
You haven't played the other Monolith Soft games. They're all like this.
Yeah, whatever, Gramps.
Every single one.
That's a line. Yeah, whatever, Gramps. Yeah.
All right, so you really interrupted me when Mason asked me a question. I just had started beginning to explain the game, and you interrupted me. Do you feel like you want me to talk about this game on this podcast?
Or go ahead.
Are you writing?
Oh my
this
god,
game
you want me to apologize? Stand up for the class?
No. I'm wondering if my time is valuable to you.
It is. I want to know. I want something that would make me want to pick up this game again.
I
want to
hear more about Destiny's jump puzzles instead.
Yeah, that kill you. they're so broken that they kill you.
It's not even a puzzle. It just randomly kills you because it's bugged. I wonder if this is like, this is the kind of thing that Bungie's going to apologize with, like this half apology of well, we designed it so that it was supposed to kill you 90% of the time on impact, and then your friends who got lucky enough were going to pick up your body. Using the jump pad.
Actually, they're gonna patch it and say, in rare circumstances, players died from this.
I know. Fuck you. I can't even get over these goddamn islands. They kill me every single time.
All Bungie's games are like this. You just need to jump on them for 15 hours, and then it all makes sense.
Yeah.
As an outsider, whenever I see Xenoblade, the new one, is that Chronicles 2?
Yeah.
Chronicles 2. Whenever I see the characters animate, I just think of Sonic Adventure mouth animation. It looks like Sonic Adventure mouth. I don't know. It's really wild.
So beneath this buttfuck, goofball, campy ass anime mess, I'll say it. It's a big lasagna.
So the anime mess is on top.
An anime mess.
That's the Parmesan.
This is a middle tier budget and an expedited holiday deadline for one of their most ambitious games of all time, coming off of Xenoblade Chronicles X's engine, which was optimized only for the Wii U, and they tried cramming it on the Switch. There's frame rate issues. There's lip sync issues. And it's a little pervy, and it's childish, but it's like this raw little baby when you start, and you watch it grow
into.
Please take me into this fully blossomed
Hikokomori.
Carl, how do you say it? Carl Jung.
Yeah.
Who's the? Well, is that
actually, I don't know. It might. I'm pretty sure it's Jung.
Kirby, didn't you study that stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Carl Jung.
Carl Jung, he was a philosopher.
Nah, I didn't study what? Only Western philosophy for me.
Wasn't he kind of like a...
Who did you like, Kirby? I remember you and Nick talking about philosophers.
Kojima. I like Bertrand Russell.
Yeah. Swiss psychiatrist. There's these Jungian concepts of existentialism. What is a memory? How do we cope with what we foresee in ourselves? How do we forgive someone? It's told through this like Saturday morning cartoon, spaghetti and meatballs presentation.
Hey, that sounds really heavy.
Right. It's all there. I don't know. I think we take a lot of Japanese stuff for granted in how they feel they want to present these ideas, as opposed to a more,
adult.
What's the Lars von Trier methodology? What is that called?
Schrodinger's cat. I don't know.
Movie making.
Lars.
Wow, live Googling.
So the gameplay is a 7, based on what I've heard so far of your gameplay explanation.
I give the gameplay a 1, an hour or 2.
God, Kirby, this was
you give the gameplay 1 hour.
Yeah. For real.
It's really saying something if you're playing a game and watching Luke Cage at the same time, and you're not complaining about how boring Luke Cage is.
I like Luke Cage so far. I'm surprised that you hate it that much. I mean,
it's the worst paced one.
It is poor. How far did you get in Luke Cage?
I finished all the Marvel Netflix things, except for The Punisher.
Wow.
It's picking up for me, Luke Cage.
They also speak so strangely. I think the dialogue is written like someone who has not been in New York City. So everyone is like, man, people are weird here. I'm going down.
Well, there's specifically one character that says like that exact line, but
Or yeah, so weird.
Lars von Trier, he pioneered this Dogma 95 methodology of filmmaking that relied on really gritty realism. In a lot of games that we've been playing and movies and shows, mostly Western, things like existentialism and what is a memory and all that stuff will be tackled head on in the darkest way possible that really drills down to you. I think in a lot of Japanese media, they take a really frilly spaghetti and meatballs approach to it that is actually contained within this game. So I would...
How far are you, Josh?
I'm 16 hours in, and I'm level 28. And so many new battle features have been introduced. So many new customization options and ways to really get a good build going with your weapon, your blade.
The Xenoblade.
I've seen better.
You've seen nothing.
You've Xenoblade
James,
better.
Have you been playing it? No, right?
No, but I've seen games with better builds.
Better build.
Josh, is there a way I can change how awful the main character looks?
Dude, I wish this was a PC mod situation, because yes, I sort of agree with you on that.
The main character is wearing like this he only wears a
parachute.
He's wearing this bonkers diving suit that looks like a classic like 30,000 leagues or whatever under the sea, with like the big circular helmet and big armor, and yet there's the leg portion is like these like metal chaps that reveal his legs, so you could see that he is in fact wearing short shorts, which I don't understand why he's wearing this like pressurized, like you would assume it's like, well, he's wearing the suit because he's going like it's for pressure, but no, it's not. It's just for looks, and it looks horrible. And he's so clunky. He's this little tiny boy wearing like big dumb diving armor, and it drives me insane to look at him. Why is he?
You know,
why does he look so bad?
You could pull the camera. You could pull the camera out to change the emphasis towards your surroundings as opposed to the characters, because in Chronicles X, I pulled the camera out so they were ants and would sort of play things like a strategy RPG. It's very malleable, and your perception or how you process what's going on, because some of these battles, there's going to be 15 people saying voice lines at the same time.
Oh yeah, that really gets old, because they don't have a lot of voice lines. Also
Ryan, they have hundreds. You just need to play more.
In the beginning,
voice lines get unlocked as you play.
From what I'm playing,
it's true. As the story changes, their voice lines change.
From what I'm playing so far, the characters will say something like, they'll set up a line, and then another character will say like the next line. But they're randomized, so they don't always sound like it makes any sense what they're referring to or like how they're responding to that. So like the main character will be like I hope you're ready for the next battle, and then the guy will say like there'll be like another character that says something like I've never not been ready and stuff like that, and just something even more nonsensical like we kill these things where they stand. Just all the time. Like, it's just all these... I can't even think of the horrible ways that the voice acting mashes up, and then everyone's just screaming during fights.
It sounds like you've experienced a lot in this 2 hours you've played.
I've had, like, a sonic attack and a visual attack on my senses.
Ugh. You poor thing. You poor, poor, poor thing.
It's not my job. It's not my job to get to where a game doesn't suck. Like, I can't believe that. Right. Like, I hate the concept of like, no, this game is just so horrendously bad that it doesn't make any sense to like it in the first 15 hours, and then you really get to where it's good, and it's like just
that's
start
hilarious
being okay.
Because you've played Path of Exile, which has the worst ramp in all of video games.
But even that's paced better, where you see shades of like how this would be really cool, and you start out and it's pretty boring, and then it gets fun. Like with Xenoblade, it's like it not only not seeing shades of it not being cool, it's like I have active disdain for the characters and the world.
You don't like the world? The world looks like a nice green world.
No, it's clouds. It's all clouds.
Nice green world has always been my favorite video game world.
You know, yeah, you're going to go to other lands, right, Kirby? With
on
totally
top of the
different
Titans,
features.
Yes.
Let me tell you. There's going to be an ice world. There's going to be a lava world.
Probably not.
There's going to be a nighttime world. You got all your JRPG worlds.
Did you, Mason? Did you play either of the other two?
No, I'm just really good at guessing.
Oh God, it's so varied, and the music is deeply, deeply impactful to me. I mean, I'm really not trying to be the exact opposite of Kirby here, but I can't resist.
I feel you. I would absolutely play this game if it weren't for the fact that I'm still going through Super Mario Odyssey. And after that, what is that other game? The Metroidvania game.
Axiom Verge?
Axiom Verge, that's what's after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm stacked up.
We've been quite spoiled. There's no doubt that the price point or price of admission for like the voice acting in Persona 5 was like second to none. That set a brand new standard. We have to realize that it's a tiered system in terms of what the developer, you know, can pour their resources into. This was a real struggle to get this game finished. And as I said, half of the staff was working on Breath of the Wild. So sometimes I pretend, this is going to be a bombshell, sometimes I pretend I'm playing this game on a GameCube. I said it.
Well, there you go. That's a great review.
I'm hearkening back.
6 out of 10.
To when
I have to pretend like I'm playing this game on a GameCube.
But in a way, and the frame rate,
and
the
voice acting,
and everything. Right.
Which is especially unfortunate because I mostly play Switch Portable.
It's not a portable game. The anti-aliasing and dithering, as well as shaders, get wonka-zonked when you pop it into portable mode. So I've been playing with my arms strewn across my bed with the separated Joy-Cons. It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone, but Kirby, you're one of my best friends. Try and get 15 hours on, you know, on the punch card. And you won't be a changed man by then, but maybe you'll be able to level with me in a different way.
I mean, I'm going to give him more time, but it's not promising.
I would hope so, because like I said, $60.
Absolutely. I paid full price.
Sunk cost fallacy. I could always return it to GameStop. I bought it from GameStop. I rarely do that, but I did.
Oh! That was your first mistake. That made the game worse.
You should have bought it from Alibaba, dude. The frame rates are better.
I should have gotten it on that singles day.
Should have got it from JD.com.
That I can no longer really take advantage of. But
we're not going to talk about that on the podcast. But I would love for you to gush on that. I'm happy for you.
She listens to the podcast too, so I don't even know if she probably didn't get this far, or I can't imagine anyone getting this far in the game in this podcast.
Everyone died on the jump puzzle.
Yeah,
she
definitely would have died on the jump puzzle. Everyone, like, we have to pick up the dead. Like we need to call upon like Meg and Robert and the Baba Yaga to pick up the corpses of all the fallen WTDG listeners that listened to the first 10 seconds of the podcast and then heard Destiny talk, and then we're like, no, peace.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was me.
Shout out to you guys.
You just started eating.
I tuned out.
But
I want to. Xenoblade 2 employed 300 musicians and over 20,000 pages of music.
Josh,
it is a
Mac fact.
It is a sonic masterpiece with the Chrono Trigger composers as well as the Monolith Soft veterans from the other spectacular Xenoblade scores, ripping and roaring.
I've got great news for you, Josh. We're giving it a 10 out of 10 for music.
Thank you, God. I can't take these losses on every aspect here. Which game has perfect progression?
Not Path of Exile.
Right.
I mean, I like I said, I think that
Persona 5 was fucking slow,
I disagree with that, because I even games that take a while to ramp up, like, sure, if someone's saying like it's really boring in the beginning of Persona, I can't, you know, they won't give me the reins.
Gameplay is boring, that's true, but you know,
but there's so much in Persona to like from the beginning, and there's not.
It's the story, and the thing that I understand about Xenoblade is that, the story is a JRPG story, and I wouldn't say the same thing of Persona 5. Persona 5 didn't have a typical JRPG story.
No, that's a contemporary.
It had a typical anime story.
Yeah.
A nice slice of life.
Okay. Oh.
I want to divert because I feel
wait. Hold on. Kirby, let me give you.
You explaining Xenoblade is like me playing Xenoblade.
Right.
I find it as boring.
let me send you some flowers. I hated the first few hours too.
Neat.
But I knew what my expectations were.
But you played the ones before it, so you
I
know
beat
the
both of the other mean? Ones putting combined
that makes sense.
280 hours into the other games.
So I got to ask this, cuz while we're on the topic of narrative and on the topic of anime stories, has anyone besides me watched Kantaro the Sweet Tooth Salaryman on Netflix?
Oh my God. It's in my queue.
It's really good.
Kirby and I certainly got our share of Salaryman when we were over there.
I was watching Neo-Yokio, which is pretty ridiculous.
Neo-Yokio is a great show, but Kantaro the Sweet Tooth Salaryman is essentially a live action anime about an engineer who decides to take on a life of a salesman so that he would have more time to sneak out during work and eat desserts. So it's just about him. It's just about this guy going.
That sounds
to actual,
amazing.
He goes to actual restaurants like that are known for some type of traditional dessert. And it's just like him gushing over like philosophy of like Tolstoy and Winston Churchill and somehow relating something that they're saying
philosophy
to
of
how
Winston
much he
Churchill.
Loves. Yeah. Yeah.
And
he gets into it.
Okay.
But, and then so essentially weird. Relating it back to his love of desserts. And he like secretly holds, like he runs this blog where he's the sweets knight and no one can know his secret identity. But then someone at the office is maybe finding it out, and maybe it's Cloud the dog. Is that Cloud? Who was that?
It's always Cloud.
It's always Cloud, the worst dog.
It's a great TV show, and it is a Netflix original.
I'll check that out. Now, is it natively in Japanese? Is it for Japanese audiences? Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's for Japanese audiences. I mean, maybe it is.
I hope so.
It seems like something that definitely has like a Western appeal to it.
I mean, it's probably one of those. It's like probably like all of the other Japanese originals on Netflix where it airs in Japan, but then Netflix gets like exclusive rights to stream it.
Like Terrace House.
Like Atelier, which is an amazing, amazing show on Netflix. I recently watched the first two episodes of a manga turned live action called Blazing Transfer Students.
Blazing?
Blazing Transfer Students.
These are some really hot recommendations.
Where can I find Blazing Transfer Students?
This is on Netflix, and it is
I'm gonna look
so
into
funny. It's like ridiculous. Like the first episode, a kid transfers to a new school. And
that sounds like the start of everything in Japan.
He's grabbed and put into a wrestling ring, and he has to fight all of the other transfer students that just transferred. And this you think that amazing. this is the beginning of the show, and that wrestling match is the whole first episode.
Holy shit.
Well, not that's an exaggeration, but it like it leaves the ring, but everyone is basically fighting the whole time. It is and like then I mean then the real plot or premise of the show is revealed, and that was good. I recently finished The Sound of Your Heart, which is a Korean
how do you have time for all these shows?
I'm unemployed.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what's really good?
And he was waiting for his computer. Unemployed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Mason?
I was saying, you know what's a great choice for when you're unemployed?
Path of Exile.
Path of Exile.
I knew you would do that.
The best thing you could get into if you're unemployed.
Well,
new expansion
it might also
drops tomorrow.
I have I just got a gaming PC, so.
You guys aren't of the Warframe ilk, are you?
James is.
I played it. It's fine. I think it's good.
It is fine. It is
fine. Path of Exile is the best game in the category.
Okay.
I would say
that's a hard thing to say that it's in the same category, James, but
I would say of any
free to play, yeah.
No, it's an ARPG. Like I would say that Warframe is an ARPG.
Yeah, but it's like saying, you know, I feel like that's difficult to say it's in the same category because it's like Warframe is more action and shooting based, and then Path of Exile is top down, like RPG ish.
But you know what else? I throw Borderlands in that same group.
You're a nightmare. You and Austin, my partner, we get along.
And I'll tell you why. The reason is because
I put Borderlands in the same category as Destiny.
That makes sense.
I don't put Destiny in that category anymore.
What category do you put it in? Hearthstone? Card games?
I don't know. You know, part of it that makes it challenging is that Borderlands actually has random loot, and Destiny 1 had random loot to an extent. Destiny 2 does not have random loot. So, yeah.
I like to categorize games by what you're mainly doing.
I like to categorize games by the delivery mechanism of loot that I get, because I'm just in it to roll slots, man. I'm just here to roll slots.
DLC awareness has gone way up. Loot box awareness has gone way up. Yeah.
I like to categorize games by the abbreviation of their title.
Kirby.
Poe.
Kirby. Warframe.
Kirby, did you put Wolfenstein 2 to bed?
No, I still got to do that.
Oh, it's so
this guy is half in, half out of every game.
Well,
let me
explain.
A lot of pie holes open.
Let me explain Wolfenstein 2.
your dick looks like a fucking dip biscotti, my man.
The game isn't that good. It's like a poor man's Doom. Doom being the much better version of a game of the series, kind of games that are recreated in the image of the 2010s, 2017 of the Dooms.
Is that just Doom, Wolfenstein, and Tomb Raider?
There's other games there probably too. But Doom is successful in being like a fun to play game. Wolfenstein not as much. And I have been trying to play it, but I was playing it, was in this really long level, couldn't leave, or I had to leave, so I put it down for a little bit, came back, and it said something like, because I downloaded a new, because Doom, or because Wolfenstein downloaded a new patch, it had, like, forgotten where my progression was if you aren't at the beginning of a level. So I have to start that level over again, and that was deeply frustrating. And I just
none of the levels are truly too long, so it wouldn't kill you. Go retrieve those souls. It's I think it was a really nice end of day mind clearing exercise.
Oh, just not to, much like, else. Beat the shit out of some Nazis?
Yeah, exactly. Not much else.
I mean, I had a busy week in life and in games, so my time has been spent on, especially like since Destiny came out, more Destiny, but I was playing like mostly Tekken this week.
That's okay.
As Galway would attest to.
That's a trade. You know, you're like sharpening.
You're a blacksmith, you're a Tekkener.
Your skills, yeah.
Kirby and I, you could tell when one of us is playing a lot of Tekken because the other person receives a lot of
text messages. Unresponded
Tekken messages. To texts. Yeah,
we call them Tekken messages, but
it's just text, but instead of the X, it's a K.
So. Yeah. So this can dovetail into, you know, Galloway computer talk, and I do want Mason to do a Path of the Exile splooge at some point, but. Geese Howard came out for Tekken. I feel like it took way too long to get this character, considering like he looked pretty good in everything in the trailers. So I don't know if they were just balancing like frame data, which I assume like that's so important in Tekken. So like maybe they were just trying to get that all as good as possible. Galloway, have you played Geese?
I've played so little of Geese. So my situation currently is that I've been playing video games on a PlayStation for a while. And then I recently ordered computer parts. So I've kind of just been thinking like, oh, all fighting games are better on PC. Or most fighting games are better on PC. On the PlayStation side. So I haven't been playing Tekken that much, but I did try him out a little bit in training mode, and I have been watching some streams with Geese. He seems like a mix between Akuma and regular Tekken characters.
Yeah, I guess I don't disagree with that. I mean, he's got the projectiles. He's like
he's not as extreme as Akuma.
Yeah. Like, cause he still he doesn't want to like zone as much as Akuma might, but I dig him a lot. He's my highest ranked character.
Whoa,
yeah.
He's also like way more. He seems way more mobile, and he also has like his buttons are kind of regular. Like they just seem more versatile than Akuma. Akuma, when
can you answer something for me, guys? Sorry to cut in, but I think that this kind of matters. As a casual Tekken fan, when I saw Geese's trailer, I thought he looks too cool to belong in Tekken. He looks like he's too flashy, like he's got too much going on. Is that true?
Whoa,
no, I would disagree with that. I guess like I think it's exciting because he fits in very well. I think Akuma fits in very well. So, like, if they ever end up doing Tekken Cross Street Fighter, which is a joke, then I think it could work out pretty well. He isn't too flashy. I think a lot of other, like, I guess it is weird because if you're looking at a surface, like a super surface level of Tekken, then so many people look like fight people. They look like punch and kick men and women. And it's hard to like distinguish why you would play someone over someone else. And the more you play Tekken, the more you understand that it's like you're piloting a character that has like a massive list of moves, and you're picking like what are the moves that you're gonna pull from. And Akuma and Eliza obviously look very different and look like some of the most unique characters, but when you play a lot of Tekken, it doesn't necessarily feel like, you know, he has everything or he's so unbelievably flashy. He's cool. There's a lot of cool aspects to that character, a lot of like unique stuff that feels good to pull off. Like he has that ground grab where he just picks you up from the ground, says stand up, throws you down again. So he picks you up and then he slams you down, and he says stand up, but he doesn't put you up on your feet. But he's a very cool character. I was enjoying the hell out of him, and I was also really enjoying the experience of playing him, because the last time that I was playing Galloway, like usually when I'm playing Galloway for a really long time, I get to try out stuff that I've been thinking of, but haven't necessarily like put to good use, but it's something that like I can convince my brain, like, you're going to drop a lot of games, but try to do more like low parries and stuff like that. So I did that last time where I was getting more used to low parries and combos after low parries, and it changed a lot of stuff about the way I play. And I think a lot of, especially in like lower ranks, people go for a lot of unsafe lows and stuff like that, and they also try and always end rounds with lows. So I ended up, like, it's not necessarily that Geese is my my best character, but he's my highest ranked character because I just was winning so much. Like, no one, like, you when in Tekken, you gain these skills that make you inherently better than people of a certain rank, and then you get, you know, you go up and it's pretty easy to go up, and then at that the next rank or so, you start facing a new set of skills. So it's like, you know, like green and blue ranks is like just learning your character, and then green, like, you can get out of it pretty easily if you can low parry and know, you know, character, how to the matchups of characters. And then beyond that is more like you need to be able to Korean backdash and sidewalk and duck and stuff like that. So it's really exciting to have like 300 plus hours in Tekken and like discover, like, you put a mechanic to use that I was not really utilizing that much to make all my characters better at the same time. Like, it's awesome to be able to interact with this mechanic and just suddenly I'm beating the shit out of people at that rank because they're so predictable. Like, I know that they're thinking, like, you know, no one's gonna deal with like a really fast unseeable low to end a round, and then I just low parry it and then like sometimes win rounds off of that low parry, and that's really exciting.
I got a question, once again from the Peanut Gallery. Were previous Tekken entries this technical? Did you have to do a Korean backdash in the previous one and the one before that?
Yeah.
And even going back to, the original PlayStation ones, were those just like beat 'em ups, or were those just as technical?
I think Korean backdashing was discovered. I think that whole idea was discovered in like Tekken 6 or Tekken Tag, but I'm pretty sure Electrix, which it's like a perfect frame move, you have one frame to execute, or you need to time one frame perfectly. It's easier than doing a one frame combo or one frame link because it's like one motion. But I think those have been in the series forever. Yeah, you
know, they had that in Soul Calibur too.
I never thought that Soul Calibur could be so technical because I was winning against my friends just by button mashing. And
well, that's Tekken too.
Your friends might not have known how to play very well.
No, none of us did. We were all coming from Smash, so it was a lost cause, and we were just interested because Link was involved.
Man, that was such a good game.
Soul Calibur?
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 2?
Yeah.
I could use another one of those.
There have been a few rumors. There was a rumor that there was going to be an announcement at the Tekken World Tour Finals, which there wasn't. And in fact, I feel like the announcement of Noctis being a guest character kind of was like a soft cancellation of anything Soul Calibur, because that is obviously a good Soul Calibur guest character.
Talk about a brand that will not die. Wow.
I know, you can't escape Final Fantasy 15 even if you wanted to.
I'm really looking forward to playing Final Fantasy 15 next year on PC.
On PC. Let's see how that turns out. I'm willing to give it another shot because I feel happy.
I heard it's going to be a feature complete.
Yes. And I feel really happy to let my PC sing as opposed to slogging along on the PS4. It just feels crisper. You guys know that the video game awards are on right now, do you?
They're going on, yes. They're being live streamed on Steam.
It is a reputable, legitimate, and not you know, totally driven by money, safe event. Just
what? Safe space.
What's gonna win? Breath of the Wild? Everything? I think Breath of the Wild probably win in all categories.
Something tells me that Call of Duty World War II is gonna get more attention than it deserves just because of the money involved.
What did you just say, Josh? You said it was a safe space that isn't like that doesn't harbor that greed.
And then he said, just kidding.
And then he said, well, Call of Duty World War II is going to do very well because of the money.
Right. I was joking at first, and now I'm telling the truth.
Okay. The reveal. The double
it's a
reveal.
Twist.
They've had a knack since this event's inception to lean towards games like that. Like, say, the knack people or Sony just steps to this guy. I forget his name. What's his fucking name?
Jeff Keighley.
Thank you. Steps to this guy and puts a stack down. This is a promotional vehicle. I have no idea what his background is.
He was on trailers.
Okay. Thank you. He's really steadfast in trying to keep his lifestyle completely video game oriented without being much of anything. Didn't like Adam Sessler kind of give up on this after
trying to
be... Well,
he's a political pundit now, basically.
Right. So he didn't try to make video games his day-to-day. And this poor guy really... I can see in his face that he's taken on a lot of... And the way he dresses. He's taken on a lot of stress to try and remain relevant, which
Jeff Keighley probably makes more money than anyone who has made any of the games that we're talking about.
Right. So what he's doing seems to be working, but I fear for the lack of soul in his pupils, and I'm sure we'll see some pleasant results from this. I think Persona 5 and Breath of the Wild will get their faux attention and faux respect from this made-up event, but
I think Persona is the type of game that, just like how there are like Oscars, there are Oscar awards that are like they're awarded like during the commercial breaks.
Yes,
I think Persona is the type of game that would win those awards,
and I fear that when the cameras are rolling, like Lawbreakers is the perfect type of game to abruptly win something, just because there's leftover money.
You're really
right,
on
leftover money, and dude, it's a tragedy. Could we do another Gears of War, or did every other game become Gears of War?
We can't do another Gears of War. I don't think they could do another cover shooters.
Yeah. Okay. Is God of War gonna be good, or is it gonna be a movie?
Both.
Yeah.
God of War is going to be masculine Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, exactly. I fear that the engine looks so heavy that when you push this guy, it's going to be a slog.
What do you mean? Physically, Kratos will move like a tank?
This might be a filmic event as opposed to a 60 frames per second fast action kill fest, where you really see full articulation. This might be very graceful. The way they've been showing the trailers and all the promotions and everything.
So Galloway, you got your 1080, right? Or 1070?
1060.
Okay.
Still good.
Sorry.
Still good.
A great budget choice.
I just got that today. I'm not trying to do anything crazy, you know. Definitely, with like everything, I'll probably not like care about 4K until like the 2020s or whatever.
It's not optimized yet, dude. Don't be afraid of dipping into like Dragon Age Origins or Morrowind.
Oh fuck, don't play that.
Yeah, or Stalker or something. I know.
Definitely not gonna play Morrowind.
Dragon Age. Honestly,
I know. But just know that you really have a lot of flexibility, and don't be afraid to dig into the back catalog.
No, definitely not.
Don't dig into the back catalog. Play Tekken.
Yeah, I have stuff to play right now. I have a few
PlayStation games I need to finish off, and I think the one PC game, or the one game I want to, like, the new game that I haven't played to christen my PC with is Divinity 2 or whatever.
Oh, boy.
It's apparently good.
It is good.
It's apparently very good. My poor friends who are local tried doing a 4-person co-op and couldn't figure out how to leave the starting area. That's probably their problem.
It's very hard. I heard it's very hard.
It's very hard. And I wonder how it feels if you're going to go it solo.
You know, whatever very hard means, I don't really...
It's. I think it's ever-changing these days.
Term is thrown around a lot.
Wolfenstein was very easy on hard. So that says something, too. Did Doom get fucking really difficult?
Were you able to really break it up? Like difficulty modifiers and stuff like that.
Good.
Yeah, one difficulty on shooters is hard because, like, if you're good at clicking heads, like, it's not gonna
change
that much.
Do you see a head? Click on it.
I want a shooting game that's going to challenge me with more difficult jumping puzzles when I set the difficulty level higher.
Well, yeah. I got one for you. I got a really difficult jumping puzzle. And by difficult, I mean impossible.
Like a 10%
It's very
difficult to listen to.
Yeah, it's a life or death situation. Doesn't that just rattle your bones?
I can't believe the young Galway and I are going to have Tekken Online tournaments.
We're not.
I'm so excited. Why not?
What do you mean?
I need to get a new stick.
We'll figure that out for you.
Why do you need to get a new stick? Just plug the stick into the computer.
Do you remember our problem, James?
Oh yeah, it's a very weird, obscure problem where there's something wrong with. Actually, you know, that's motherboard specific. So his stick doesn't work with certain motherboards.
Okay, well, we must have the same category of motherboard. But
interesting.
There are also, I think. That specific stick is like the biggest problem for PC games.
What are you using the?
You really know how to choose them.
The Madcast PS3. Your Madcast PS3.
Yeah,
stick.
I know. Galway doesn't know how to choose them. I know how to choose them. I got the combo though.
I'm going to not. I don't know if I'm gonna get a new stick for a while. I do want a new stick, but it's pretty hard to, you know, it's like a pretty big decision spending like that much money on a fighting game stick.
But if it's your new PC and everything, and you play primarily fighting, like, I feel like you play a lot of fighting games.
I do. I've been playing a lot of other things. I just started Nier Automata.
What? On PC or PS4?
No, I'm playing on PS4 because I only see people complain about the Steam version.
There's another game to add to James's list that I bought and then played. To be fair, I played 15 hours of that game and did not enjoy it.
Interesting.
But my problems have been
the first ending, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, isn't that the first
ending
arc?
It's pretty close. The gameplay is so dry. I could not hang in on that one. It's so poor looking. I don't know why. It's just so ugly. They spent all the assets on 2B's ass. And then everything else
she's a real cutie.
Everything she's a real like cosplay so icon.
Yeah.
Cosplay icon.
That was the hottest cosplay this year for sure.
We're going to use a different word. That was a very common cosplay.
Well, there you go, developers. Just make your character design very ass-centric, and then you're going to have a lot of fans. Yoko Taro figured it out. Why can't you?
It had a very... I've played to, like, the first time that you can save. Like, I just started. But it has a very... it feels like it's like an action game on made by like Metal Gear developer, you know, like it feels like a Metal Gear game for some reason.
Metal Gear Survive is going to create a nice contrast. We can see how that turns out.
Well, who made Revengeance?
Yeah.
Was that like Ninja? Platinum or something? It might have been Ninja.
Platinum Ninja?
I think it was Platinum.
Yeah.
I feel like I agree with you in the sense that if they use the Metal Gear engine and then had like a sloppy, light, heavy style, like a action interface, those are your buttons and like your combos, and it didn't really necessarily work out very well, and wasn't designed, the engine wasn't designed to fit that game. I feel like that's what that you are correct to say that Nier Automata feels like it's a game that is a mod of a real game, where
that was a laugh.
Huh. Yeah, Nier Automata, playing that game feels like it's a mod because it's just so poorly made.
I mean, I think it's fine so far. Do you think games can be in the middle? You know?
Yeah,
do they have to be great?
There's plenty of games I play that are in the middle.
Just like Xenoblade. That's a soft middle.
I've heard great things about Nier from one of those really weird, like, I don't know. Its praise reminds me of Dark Souls praise,
right?
Where, kind of like the community gets it or gets whatever the developers are doing, and then it just kind of like is a snowball effect.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've been playing a lot of Destiny as well, despite my complaints, and I feel like that's a good middle of the road where it's like, yeah, the action, the shooting is so good, the game is so gorgeous, but why is there all these mistakes?
Really sensing a theme in this episode. I love it. Do we have anything? I don't have like a big list, or I don't have much of a list. I blew my load on
all these lists. What's up with lists?
No, Josh is a list man.
What's the list of?
It's starting to be the end of the year, so we're thinking about lists. But do we have any big AAA big dogs that you're looking forward to at this point, or are we over the hill?
Path of Exile.
It already exists, my guy.
Releases tomorrow.
Okay.
And contains more content than your average AAA game.
Okay. I'm going to give it a shot.
Without guests, is this just Destiny versus Path of Exile, the podcast?
Because it's not a contest.
Yeah, it's really not.
Right.
It's just Destiny and Path of Exile.
Is, no, in terms of new IPs...
No. Didn't survive at this time of year.
No. Rare.
Ukulele 2.
Yeah, speaking of Rare, that didn't
Knack
that
3. Didn't
work. I'm interested in the in the non-ukulele game. What is it? A Hat in Time or Magic
we
Hat?
We are all going to try that.
We mentioned that every
We're
podcast.
All going to try that.
I'll buy it right now. I'm going to buy it right
let's
now.
Let's make a promise. Let's make a promise. I am dying to give that some love because it seems like all the pieces fell into the right place, and kudos to them.
Would you play any Path, Josh or Galloway?
Yes. Let me try it this weekend.
This is a good time.
Let me send you a link to a good starter guide that'll give you some advice on making the start of the game a little less painful.
That would be like the idea of that. Is at, like I was on board, and then as soon as you said starter guide less painful, it's like okay, don't send it, I'm not downloading.
I am down to try it before I never have to buy it.
I mean, it's free to play, and it kicks a lot of ass after you put in a little time. It's not even as poorly paced as Xenoblade, so
yeah.
It's a good streamer game.
It's fine if this doesn't mean much to you, but I think that it's probably one of the best games ever. Like for me, I think it's like a personal favorite.
Cool.
So if that matters at all, then I think it's worth giving a shot.
I put a couple hundred hours into this recent Path expansion and was really blown away to the point where I see shades of Path everywhere. Like that's a game that Grinding Gear Games is doing a lot of stuff with Path that is like, I wish other games just stole.
It makes you want more out of other games, and there is a story, and there's a lot of lore too.
Okay, great.
It's a Dark Souls kind of story and lore where there is upfront story, but a lot of stuff is in the background. And if you're more interested, then you can read everything and look at everything. But I think that that's not necessarily like what you come here for, obviously. But
okay.
Yeah, I really like the trend in like story as a vibe instead of a story.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
I do like that.
Yeah, it's good. It really like refocuses all of the energy on the gameplay, which is why I play a video game and not watch a movie.
Yeah.
So that is interesting.
Did any of you fellas play Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl?
No, but I always thought I should because I loved Metro, and that's another one of those like Eastern Bloc weird love games.
This one is a stinky, dingy, wet gem. It's just a really slimy gem, and it's easy to acquire in many ways because it's so old. So try and put that on your desktop at some point.
Mason, for the other casters and for the listening audience, can you do a little bit of a path? I'm sure you've been. I can tell that you've probably been itching your entire body at all the hives, which are just your path excitement trying to come out.
Path of excitement.
Mostly, I spent this week. The main game that I played this week was Path of Building, which is the application that lets you theorycraft builds for Path of Exile. So that's mostly what I've been doing, is just researching the interactions between the new drops that are coming out with the new skills that are coming out, and trying to figure out like, all right, so what's going to be awesome this league?
And I think I've got some. Do you have inventory slots, etc., for really maxing out your potential?
Do I have enough? Oh, I have enough.
No, but like when you say builds, does that mean augmenting attributes of your character with items and weapons and clothing?
Passive skill points.
Okay.
Path of Exile is the most complicated when it comes to that. That's why there's an app for it, because there is a massive, extremely daunting sphere grid skill tree that
Xenoblade has that too,
that you can't re-roll necessarily. Like there's like consumable items that allow you to slightly re-roll, but you can ruin a character by building in the wrong order. And other than that, the intensity at which you need to craftsman-like create a character at the highest level, where you're like choosing every item and trying to get like the tiniest, most minuscule upgrades of stats, plus looking at like your gem loadout and making the gems the highest quality as possible. And like, you are really fighting for every little bit at the end of Path of Exile. So it gets,
does it feel good to make your way through the trees?
Yeah, there's a point where you like hit the big node that does something like really important or impressive for you.
Yeah,
that you really feel that oomph, and especially like when you find like a great item, or when you hit like a level threshold where you're like, okay, I've been waiting to hit level 67 so I can switch over to this weapon, and then suddenly fights that were taking you 10 seconds to get through, you're breezing through in one shot.
Cool.
You hit those really powerful like breakpoints. But there's also something about, I think the thing that so many people overlook is just how different and varied things can be when you maybe put them together. One of the things that I've been really considering is items that deal two different types of damage. It's sort of complicated to get into. I don't want to get into it too much, but essentially trying to build my tree around the items that I'm building. And I think that that's something that's really hard as a new player, because you don't know how many like items are in the game. Like, it's hard to comprehend and remember what every item is and what it does. This expansion is adding 50 new legendaries. So if that sounds like a lot, I mean,
I really respect the labor of love aspect for both the Warframe developer and this Path of Exile developer.
Yeah.
They are creating content.
The crazy thing about the 50 legendaries is, like, that number doesn't mean that much, but legendaries are, in a lot of cases, like, build, like, creators, like, build catalysts that... Yeah. So, like, the idea of adding 50 legendaries, I think one of the exciting things going into this Path expansion is that a lot was changed in the last Path expansion, and then creating a whole new, like, set of gems, and which are the skills in the game, and then creating all these items that augment that, and then rebalancing a lot of passive stuff means that we're probably in, like, a pretty wild... Wild West here with Path of Exile, where there's probably a lot of unknowns going into this, and that it'll change every day. And I think one of the really exciting things about Path compared to the other ARPGs is the trading system and how ridiculous, like, the marketplace is. I think that it was a cool, frustrating moment when I was trying to do this build that was really cheap at the time, this, like, Necromancer build. And then Grinding Gear Games put out a video on the launch like splash page about a similar build, and because of that, it made my build extremely expensive overnight, so I couldn't play that character. So, like, the exciting thing in Path is more than just, like, not even necessarily, like, all the work Mason put into it. But it's that there are so many possibilities that like, by sheer numbers, no one knows what builds are good and what the builds are capable of. So you can, as a somewhat, like, mid-tier to high-tier player, or, like, theorycrafter, create builds that have never, and playstyles that have never existed before, because it's, like, this massive ARPG sandbox of all these concepts. And, like, overnight, you know, like, a lot of people would basically build builds around cheap items that no one was paying attention to, and get them for really cheap, and then theorycraft these crazy builds, and then suddenly change the landscape of, like, what that item means. So it's, like, the cool thing that could happen is, like, there's always that, like, lottery thing where Mason dreamed up this build that is... that no one else is really thinking of, and then he goes it.
What I do then is I actually buy a ton of the uniques that the build requires, and I stockpile.
Buy with gems that you've earned, or buy with money.
You can't
Everything
buy anything
is earned in game.
How honorable.
It's a free to play game. There are, like, two or so purchases that you kind of need to make to be effective at the, if you're putting in a lot of hours, those are pretty cheap. And then the other pay for things are cosmetics that are expensive but go on sale but have no relevancy in the game. So all the, like, the time you have to put into the game, all the drops you have to get into the game, all of that is purchase with the in-game currencies, of which there are just a metric shit ton of them. But the cool thing is, like, see, this is another thing that, like, I wish other games did, because I think it's so exciting. I like the way that Path does its currency, because Path of Exile doesn't have a like agreed upon real base currency. Like, Diablo has, like, gold, and you spend a lot of stuff on gold, but the currency only exists as a currency, whereas the currencies in Path of Exile are these, like, consumable items.
They're crafting materials.
Yeah, they're crafting materials, so they're stuff like, you know, like, they're all things like, you know, add another enchantment onto a piece of armor, but players themselves decide the values of those currencies, because you can have times where it's like a stock market. The value of those currencies can go up and down. There was, like, I really like, there was a time where one of these like rare currencies, exalted orbs was pretty cheap, and I think my partner was playing tons of it and got an exalted orb and sold it for like 40 and was 40 chaos, which is like a pretty basic currency, and was excited about that sell, but was like, you know, usually in other times those are worth more, so it wasn't as valuable when he got it. And then like a week or two later, I got an exalted orb, and around that time the price of that had skyrocketed to like 80, 90 chaos orbs. So I ended up getting like almost three times the value.
This is like a stock market or cryptocurrency.
There's actually there are websites just to track the fluctuating market value of items.
That tickles me. I will look into this. I got a question. Keyboard and camera wise, does it handle like Diablo?
Yes.
Okay. I would say that one thing that I will peg against it is I think Diablo has a more visceral feel to it.
Oh.
There are parts of that Blizzard polish that is unreplicable.
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 You can't copy.
Unreplicable.
No, unreplicable.
But I think, you know, Path of Exile feels really good once you get into like the middle of the game, once you get to like act 3 or 4. But Diablo from the beginning sort of has this very nice impact to your hits that you don't get in Path of Exile until a little bit later on.
Blizzard wraps you in quick. They're not about a long game.
It might be irreplicable.
Irreplicable.
That sounds good. Irreplicable. Yeah.
E-dash, like e-cigarette.
Yeah.
Acoustic replicable.
Irreplaceable.
No. Different things.
Replicate.
I said irreplicatable, but
it's irreplicable.
Irreplicable. This is, you know, that's like a good 5 minutes that the listeners will never get back.
So it's going to be good.
I'm really looking forward to that expansion. You have the power to delete audio.
I do. And sometimes I deem it worthy to be in, and sometimes I get lazy. I have the
Aren't
power.
All listeners really around for the personality and not really the, you know, it's half games, half personality.
I don't really know why people listen to this podcast.
It's a slice of life.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a slice of pizza. Who doesn't like pizza?
He's right.
I need to go turn on some water. Hold on. It's not like I was doing anything, though. Hold on.
What?
What does that mean? My room is about 52 degrees. I need to turn on the heat.
I am ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
Heat up some water, but I do it by pressing the on button on my electric kettle.
I heard there might be some snow coming up soon.
Correct. I like it.
I've got a snow flurry on Saturday and Sunday.
It's always the days gaming that I work. That's how I know the weather will be inclement.
Which is awesome because I'm ready to sit inside with some hot cocoa and play Path of Exile.
It is really just one of those games. I love gaming while it's snowing.
Ooh, gaming while it's snowing is one of those special comforts that comes with the season.
Coffee, games,
warmth, and the knowledge that not much else is happening in your immediate area because powers beyond our control have created this genuine home time.
The Vex simulation has forced you into the house.
Right.
James, I want to hear a little bit more about Path, because some of these things I don't really necessarily know about. Are they adding anything act-wise? Like, they're adding... They're rebalancing a lot of stuff, and they are adding all these uniques and these gems, but what else on a surface level are they adding? I think they're adding a lot of maps.
Yeah, so let me explain this. So there's an end game to Path of Exile where you travel across different dungeons across this giant map, this atlas that's covered with tiny dungeons on it, right? And as you go from one dungeon, you unlock other dungeons that you can visit. So one issue that Path of Exile had was at the late game, people would figure out, okay, what is the best dungeon? I'm just going to run that one. And you know, that kind of created some tension for players because they want to experience a diverse amount of content, but at the same time, you want to get that money. You want to get those drops. So you want to be doing what's the most efficient. So what the War of the Atlas brings is it's bringing these corrupted storms that cross over the Atlas. When an area becomes corrupted by one of these storms, the map gets harder, and one of two bosses can enter into the map to influence it. Either the Shaper, who's like the traditional Path of Exile boss, or the Elder, which is a new boss. So essentially these two characters, the Shaper and Elder, are creating storms all over these dungeons, and essentially they're fighting with one another. So as you beat Shaper maps, you weaken the Shaper and you make the Elder stronger. And part of you wants to maybe make the Elder stronger because you want him to influence different maps so that you get different drops. But essentially what this is doing is it's remixing a lot of content that's currently in the game, and it's also introducing new content to the end game. So currently the game has 126 maps in it, and this expansion adds 36 more maps, or 32 more maps. And with it, you know, 32 more boss fights, in addition to 4 or 5 more endgame bosses. So imagine, you know, 37 to 40 new bosses, 32 new maps. It's a lot of content. I'd say it's a lot of content.
How does this work? Is it like an online feature of like which areas are corrupted at a time, or is that a personal? No,
it's a personal thing because you're essentially you want to manipulate the map, the Atlas, in a way that favors the kind of character that you're building and the items that you're going after. So if you are trying to get access to legendary Elder items, you want to be cultivating the Elder Storm, essentially, you know, keeping the Shaper at bay and letting the Elder spread his influence, especially across the high tier, very difficult dungeons, where his influence might matter more and might lead to rarer drops.
Wow.
And that's in addition to new endgame content that's coming with the League. So in tandem with the release of this expansion, they're also releasing a new league, which is something they do every, you know, 3 to 4 months. This one is called the Abyss League. It's based on an old favorite league called Breach. And essentially what it is there are cracks that open in the ground. And if you follow along the cracks, monsters start to spawn. As you kill more and more of them, the crack continues to widen. And if you can continue it through waves of successively more difficult enemies, then you get a reward at the end. And one of the possible rewards is that the Abyss opens up and you can go into it to fight the Lords of the Abyss.
I love that concept, because all I hear is that there's going to be, like, similar to the Breach stuff, is that there's going to be high monster density.
There's going to be high monster density, and the rewards for the Abyss Challenge League look sick. They are the free skins that you can get from completing the challenges look really cool. You can get a helmet, a set of wings, and a portal effect. And the portal effect is pretty sick.
Do we have anything else, or is that games? This is 2 hours.
That sounds good to me. Thanks for humoring my Path of Exile stuff, guys.
I mean, I'm excited because I'll be playing a good amount of War for the Atlas next week.
Right on.
Do we still have Ryan Galloway?
Yeah.
He's eating or drinking. Thank you, Ryan Galloway.
Thank you, Ryan Galloway.
Thank you, Ryan Galloway. I don't know if you know that we end the podcast, we end every podcast by saying this exact thing, but now I can thank you specifically. Thank you, Ryan Galloway and Crying, for the use of your music. We use Revive as the intro and the outro off the new album Beyond the Fleeting Gales. You can find them at the Front for Cover Bandcamp. I watched the entire Audio Tree live with my Jeef. That's how she'll know you from that.
That's so crazy.
When do I get to meet her?
When the winds align.
Wow. Oh my god. This is a location sensitive invitation, but it should be it should be a triple date situation somewhere.
Wow.
I think that would be a great way to overwhelm someone.
Yeah, that would definitely be crazy.
Yeah. These are two of my closest friends and their partners, and you know,
we're just gonna talk about video games.
And then
Yeah. Does she have a warped sense of like a musician's reality or the reality of a musician?
Okay. No.
So, I mean, like she, when she sees me, she won't be like, oh, you must be so busy and famous. right.
I don't.
She'll be like, oh, you probably have less money than I do at all times.
I think she's very rich. So yes, you will always have less money.
This has been WTDG Podcast. You can find it online at WTDGpodcast.com, on Twitter at WTDG Podcast, and on iTunes at What's the Deal with Games, where you can rate, comment, and subscribe to the show. There's too many people on this podcast to do a proper send off.
And Baby Makes Three is what I was going to say. I can't believe we had Ryan Gowling crying after 300 episodes or whatever. I don't think it's that many. It's not even close, actually.
That's, have fun.